Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Palm Sunday worship, which will be done online, and I speak to you via digital means. But if we could just pause for a moment and open in prayer before we begin. Almighty Eternal God, we bow our heads to you, acknowledging that you are God Almighty, all-powerful. No matter what happens on the earth as it is happening, our faith is in you, Lord. We confess to you that we do get worried and we do fret and stress about some of the things that are happening. But Lord, renew our strength and gather us together as we renew our faith in you and your power in these great and trying times. We ask, Lord, that we be protected in these very dangerous days, and we say, Lord, that our faith is in you and in our Lord and Saviour, Jesus the Christ. In your name, amen. I'm going to reveal something to you today about me. I don't talk often of this, but I am going to this evening. From the time I was in my early 20s, I have been absolutely fascinated, to the extent sometimes of perhaps letting it become all consuming, but I am absolutely fascinated and cannot get enough of study and research about the Roman Empire. I mean, if we think about it, their language morphed into English to a very large extent and then developed from Middle English through the medieval age. And then they gave us a large volume of our current law. They studied the heavens and knew the movement of the planets. Their architecture resulted in buildings and building techniques that are still in use today. Roads and cities and many of the buildings that they built are still standing. And aren't they just magnificent? They had hot and cold running water in their villas. They had spas and bathhouses with steam rooms. They developed trade and economy. They had a high level of science and mathematics. They had engineering skills that we still admire today, and their nautical skills and great military power certainly held the entire empire together. We think of the Pax Romana, which was only possible due to their great military might and the way they controlled societies that they had conquered and ruled. They lived a way of life which I am of the opinion we no longer have. Of course, I concede there was a pretty barbaric side to the empire, but overall its contribution to our civilization is undeniable and quite enormous. One practice that I believe is relevant for today is a practice that they developed called the Vir Triumphalis. This is the ceremony granted by the emperor to a military general who had delivered to the empire a great military victory and conquest. One that comes to mind is the great triumphal march of Titus in 71 BC. This great triumphal procession was a huge event in Roman life, and on the day of the triumphal procession, the general wore a crown of golden laurel, a purple toga, and he was given a chariot drawn by no less than four great white horses. For this one day, the general was considered near divine and near kingly. It was a time of extraordinary opportunities and great self-publicity for the general. Following this procession, there was a great celebrating, feasting, day-long parties. And usually a monument was erected in memory of the general. It could have been a bust or a statue or even carvings on a great column. This procession was copied by medieval armies, and of course, we know that the Nazi era used this procession with great effect at their enormous rallies. The whole city of Rome would attend this procession, and all citizens would cheer and shout praises. They would shout, "Io Triumphe!" Now today is Palm Sunday, which celebrates an event which, to me at least, and I give that to you as my opinion, was, for Jesus, a vir triumphalis. You're going with me to God's word in a moment and we'll see it written about. But it's very interesting to note that all four Gospels have this exact event recorded. In Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11, we read 11 verses of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. In Mark 11, we read in verses 1 to 11, again 11 verses, of this entry into Jerusalem. In Luke 19, verses 28 to 39, again 11 verses of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. And John, in chapter 12, verse 12 to 15, there are only 4 verses. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the events are very, very similar, but John's gospel is a little different. Yet all four have the exact same quotes from Scripture. And that is where our focus is going to be today. You know the event. Jesus approaches Jerusalem and arrives at Bethpage near the Mount of Olives and sends two disciples into the village to fetch a colt or a donkey, and they bring it to Jesus, put their cloaks on it, and Jesus mounts and rides into Jerusalem while the crowds who had cut palm branches cheer and welcome him into Jerusalem. In all four Gospels we have the exact quote, although Luke does not have the word Hosanna. So Jesus has a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Let's read about it in John 12, verses 12 to 15. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." To me, again, the similarities to the vir triumphalis are staggering. And I wonder, was Jesus having a dig at Rome, imitating something they would be very familiar with? Was this Jesus showing a sense of humor? I can't comment, of course, but it would appear to me, at least to me, that Jesus used this event as his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He came, and we know him as a conquering hero, great commander with a great victory. And who would then have his own monument erected in the form of the cross? The crowds act in exactly the same way as the crowds in Rome would have acted. But instead of shouting, "Io Triumphe," these crowds shout, "Hosanna." In ancient Hebrew, this word means "save, we pray." It is an utterance of praise, but strictly speaking, an utterance of a cry for help. Even in this moment, Jesus is afforded the status of Savior, who had come to save the Jewish people from the oppression of Rome. Isn't this why we call on Jesus to save us? Not from Roman oppression, of course, but from the oppression of our own sin that will condemn us to a terrible eternity away from God if we do not have Jesus as our personal Savior. If we do not have that special moment in our lives when we have stopped the pace of our lives, headlong rush, to ask Jesus to be our personal Saviour. And in that moment, we have given our whole life to Him to care for. If we don't have that, then we need to be shouting, Hosanna. It's curious to note that this same crowd who were welcoming Jesus into Jerusalem shout scripture from the Old Testament, which Jesus, as Jews, they would have known quite well, and they would have been familiar with. Look, they shout, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. And this comes from Psalm 118, verse 26. Now they claim this as Jesus rides into Jerusalem. And yet we all know that 5 days later, this same crowd will be shouting, Crucify him. But we'll discuss that another time. Anyway, back to the triumphal entry and the triumphal march that Jesus has. His march into Jerusalem in great triumph was without trumpets. There were no heralds, no chariots, no soldiers, and no emperor waiting to meet him. It was just Jesus alone, and yet he gets the same type of reaction as a Roman general would have got in the Vir Triumphalis. Jesus arrives just as Zechariah 9:9 puts it. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey. Do you hear the issue of salvation again? In ancient Greek, a language of the earliest text, salvation is written as soteria, which means to deliver from danger, to preserve, or to take to safety. And all that is vested in Jesus by the crowds that are crying out to him as he enters. We have to put our entire faith in Jesus to deliver us to safety. We need to have that faith in Jesus so that we are kept safe from the anger of God. And only our full faith in Jesus can do that for us. There is nothing else. The crowds on Palm Sunday when Jesus entered Jerusalem knew that. The ancient writers of the scriptures knew that. The question needs to be asked, do we know that? Matthew Henry, in his great commentary, describes this scene as, first, Jesus comes in the name of the Lord as he is sanctified and is sent into the world. And in coming in the name of the Lord, he is worthy of all acceptance. So, Jesus stages his own Vir Triumphalis, and the crowd declare he comes in the name of the Lord as Saviour. And they also declare that he's coming there to save him and to save them. As we start this year's Holy Week, let's see Jesus like this every day of our lives. Amen.